Joining us right now on the hotline from the Chronicle-Telegram, the one and only Tim Gebhardt. Tim, thank you for your time as always, my friend. How are you?
Great, Bo. How you doing?
Oh, we are lovely right now. And boy, when you and I were exchanging text messages before, we were talking about when you might join us and if you might join us. And then all of a sudden, you and I sent a text at the exact same time saying, wait a second, the game just got postponed, so we need to rethink the strategy here. But the game I know you were originally supposed to cover today, Elyria taking on St. Ed's. Want to get an idea as to what you found in your research before covering this game. What is it the Pioneers are going to have to do in order to pull off what would be considered at least a minor upset over St. Ed's?
Well, it's going to be a monumental task. I everywhere I look on St. Ed's, there's nothing but high praise for their baseball team. They're 14-5. They've won five straight games. They've got a couple of Division I commits. Mackenzie Wainwright, an outfielder, already committed to Ohio State. He's just a sophomore. And Jordan Stevens, another outfielder, just as another sophomore, is committed to Kent State. They've got Mark Malenke, a catcher. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Monicki, maybe. He's going to Toledo. He's a catcher. And they've got several pitching prospects as well that all line up to be – they're a pretty good team. They're a pretty strong team.
Now, that's a pretty interesting district. When you take a look at the teams that are in there, obviously the top seed draws the most amount of attention, and Amherst has been so extraordinarily good this year. Who left in that bracket do you think has the best chance against the Comets?
Well, you know, I think I mentioned this to you the last time I talked to you, that I think Elyria is a dangerous team. I'm sure St. Ed's is wary of them. They've got they're going to be sending Hunter Olson to the mound. Hunter's 5-2 on the year, has been pretty good, pretty consistent all season, and they've got up and down their lineup. They've got people that can hit. They've got Devin Nail, a Kent State recruit, the other day again in the game, he was 3-for-4, had 3 RBIs. Their catcher, Max Payton, was 2-for-4 with an RBI. And, you know, they've got people like Mike Knapp and Tristan Arno. They call Mike Knapp Deuce Knapp. I'm not sure why that is. I have a feeling he gets a lot of doubles is why the nickname. Tristan Arno, the son of the football coach, he'll play anywhere. Catcher, I've seen him play catch. He plays third base. He plays the outfield. He'll play anywhere just to get in there. And he's a hard-hitting person also. You know, this, like I said, up and down that lineup, they've got people that can put the ball in play. They'll challenge St. Ed's. I'm sure St. Ed's comes in as the favorite. They've won the state championship 3 times before, 2010, 2008, and 1998. So they're no stranger to tournament success. But I think Elyria can give them a good game.
I've not seen Devin Nail pitch, although as I understand it, reading your recap from last week's game, he really kind of came on and he was able to help out with his arm as they were able to get back and overcome an early deficit against Avon. What stood out most to you about Elyria's come-from-behind victory over the Eagles last week?
Well, you know, they never lost their composure. Here's, they started out the game with Dylan Gill started, and he's a left-hander. He had command issues a little bit that first inning. He walked 3 batters. He hit 1, gave up 3 runs, but Avon did not get a hit. Had Avon, I think, gotten one of those big hits there with the bases loaded or whatever, and, maybe ended up with a bigger inning. They did score 3 times, but if they'd had 4, 5, maybe 6 runs in that first inning, who knows? That game could have been over with right there. But Elyria was able to bounce back. They got 4 runs, I think it was in the third inning, and then they chipped away. They got a couple more runs here and there as the game went on. And they never lost their composure in the game. They kept battling and kept at it, and eventually ended up winning that game.
Tim, looking at the top of that bracket in the Lorain District Tournament, you've got Amherst and Olmsted Falls meeting up tomorrow as well. Obviously, Amherst is the favorite, but how do you see that game panning up? Do the Bulldogs have a chance, or should this be one Amherst is pretty confident in?
Well, you know, obviously being in the same conference, they know each other pretty well. I would think that Amherst is going to throw Evan Shaver at her. He's 7-0. He's everything that everybody's said he is all year. He's been very, very good. And again, here's another team, Amherst, from top to bottom. They've got people that can put the ball in play. They've got people that can hit the ball. Ryan Glowacki, their third baseman's a good hitter. T.J. Staten, the name is familiar because his father also went by the name T.J. Staten, Terrence Staten, from the Elyria West team that won the state championship in 1992, pitcher and a first baseman. That's his son that'll be a junior outfielder. He's on that team. You've got Kyle Manton, Jacob Lezon, Aaron Gonzalez. These guys all can hit the ball. Hunter Cassidy, Cameron Karnick. That's a lineup that's from top to bottom. They can put the ball in play and cause a lot of damage. But they're going to be going up against an Olmsted Falls team that's coming off a big win over Avon Lake. They had the walk-off grand slam homer by Adam Yacko. Here's a kid that's at the bottom of their order, the nine hitter in their lineup, but he comes up with the walk-off grand slam to win that game. He's just a junior. They had, Nate Causey started that game, and he had two hits, so he can hit the ball. Brian Eisman, Jared Fazancic also had a couple of hits. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing some of these names right. I'm just kind of looking at their – all I have to do as a writer, obviously, is spell the name right. You guys have to pronounce them right.
Well, a lot of times we have to spell them wrong in order to pronounce them right.
That's right, yeah.
That's correct. Another one is Jack Spellin. See, they've got some people that can hit the ball too. So this is going to be an interesting game. I think Amherst is favored, obviously, and they probably, like I said, they know Olmsted Falls top to bottom. They played them a couple of times, so I'm sure that Amherst feels comfortable winning that game. That's going to be an interesting district tournament. It's funny the way they seeded them. They seeded Amherst first. They seeded St. Ed's 2. They seeded Elyria 3, and they seeded Olmsted Falls 4. So the coaches, when they seeded these teams, they went true to form. Those are the four teams that are in the district.
Again, we're talking high school baseball with Tim Gebhardt of the Chronicle Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The Division I districts were postponed today, and they're going to play them tomorrow. Again, Amherst, Olmsted Falls, Elyria at St. Ed's. Those will take place at the Pipe Yard tomorrow. They were postponed today because of all the rain that we experienced early this morning. Tim, we want to transition now into Division III. Elyria Catholic with a 24-0 win over St. Joe's last week. Have you ever seen a tournament game that lopsided before?
No, to be honest, I have not. In fact, I made the comment to my sports editor. I had two games in a row last week. I had the 24-0 Elyria Catholic win, and then the next night I had the softball Keystone winning 21-0 over Rocky River. I've never had back-to-back games quite like that.
So you covered a 24-0 game and then a 21-0 game?
21-0.
Wow.
Keystone beating Rocky River. That was the game that Nunez had the four home runs in four at-bats for Keystone. That in itself was an outstanding feat.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. But hopefully you get a close game coming up here this week, or at least a couple of close games. You're due for something a little bit more exciting than 20 after a 24-0 and a 21-0 game.
Like I said, I think that Elyria St. Ed might fill the bill. It should be a good game.
Well, yeah, once you get to the district semis, usually you're looking at some pretty darn good matchups. Elyria Catholic is going to take on Lutheran West. Boy, when you look at EC, I've only seen them once this year in their victory over North Ridgeville. I thought they looked extraordinarily good. They do a lot of things very, very well. You think anybody remaining in that Division III bracket in the Lakewood District can stop them?
Well, you know, Lutheran West is a team that eliminated them a year ago, so I'm sure that they've been reminded of that this whole weekend coming into this tournament when they play on, I believe they're playing over at Lakewood on the 16th. So I'm sure that they've been reminded of that. Jack Laird, I'm sure, will be the starting pitcher in that game. Laird is just outstanding. He's very similar to Shaver. He's just a junior, though, and he's very, very good. That should be an outstanding matchup between tournament tested teams.
Well, and I've got to ask you this. Not because Tim Grattan bothers me about it on occasion, but I think it is an interesting story. You know, Brookside, their first sectional championship in 11 years. Obviously pretty fun to follow that. Any idea if that run continues against Padua this week?
Well, you know, you got to think that, you know, with Padua knocking off Holy Name, Holy Name was the second-seeded team in that district. Padua knocked them off again. And I'm sorry, I don't know a whole lot about Padua, and I know in the past they've always had a pretty good baseball team, but I think Brookside this might very well be a year that Brookside can move along and challenge probably Firelands for that championship on the 16th. Firelands plays Rocky River. Rocky River is the 4 seed. They blasted Keystone. It kind of surprised me. 13-1 in their game. Firelands got past Buckeye 5-4. Firelands has been very consistent all season, but Brookside has been very, very good themselves. That should be, if that ends up being the championship game over there at Cuyahoga Community College, that should be a good one.
Yeah, looking at scores from that bracket, it looks like that one has some of the thickest parity. I mean, you talk about Firelands and Buckeye, that ended up being a one-run game in the 1-9 matchup there.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, Buckeye knocked off Bay. I thought Bay had a nice team, and then Buckeye beat them 3-1. So here's Buckeye. They go up against Firelands, and like you said, I want to say that Firelands had to win that game late to beat Buckeye 5-4. To get to the semifinals here against Rocky River.
Well, it's shaping up to be a pretty interesting week with the district semis and the district championships. And then, of course, next week we'll transition into some of the regional matchups as well. Tim,
And don't forget that Lake Ridge Academy in Division IV. They're still out there, the number one seed. I predicted them to win that thing. And right now, you know, they're going up against Cuyahoga Heights on the 17th. At Medina, and then on Friday they'll play the winner of Dalton-Whitman. Hopefully they'll play the winner of Dalton-Whitman for the right to win that district.
Yeah, that should be interesting. In the Medina district, that's Division IV, and if they continue to move along as you predicted that they would, they'll be playing on the 18th this coming Friday in the district championship. Tim, always a pleasure, my friend. We look forward to reading your column coming up here in a couple days. You'll be a busy man this week. A lot of things to cover.
Right, man, it's an exciting time of year. It always is.
No doubt about it. Tim, thank you.
Thank you, Bo.
All righty. Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram going over some high school baseball tournament coverage.